Hey, you know who we hardly ever talk about regarding disinformation? YouTube. Not anymore. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. We talk a lot on this show about how social media platforms have been slow to react to disinformation over the years, yes, and especially around elections, and now the coronavirus and also the coronavirus vaccine. But perhaps the slowest to take a stand is YouTube. For example, the video platform waited until December 9th, a full month after the presidential election, before it started to remove videos falsely claiming election fraud or rigging. Researchers have worried about its radicalizing algorithm for years, and the company has basically no interest in working with them. Evelyn Dueck is an affiliate at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. She said YouTube is flying firmly under the radar.
It's baffling, you know, in the lead up to the election, you know, so many stories, you could almost be forgiven for thinking that Facebook and Twitter were the only sources of online information in the country. But what we do know is that YouTube is one of the biggest, if not the biggest social media platform in the United States, at least. And we also know that there is a fair amount of disinformation and misinformation on the platform. And if we look at like even the congressional hearings, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey have appeared a number of times and Susan Wojcicki hasn't been called yet. It sort of seems like YouTube's strategy has often been to keep its head down and sort of let the other platforms take the heat. That seems to be working for it.
What could YouTube be doing? I know one thing you're interested in is this kind of false binary of either, you know, take down a piece of information or leave it up, but that's not the only choice, particularly for a platform like YouTube.
Right. And I want to be sort of specific about my complaint. So one of the things that I would just really like YouTube to do is just be far more open about what it's doing and the measures that it's taking in demoting or not recommending certain content.
Let's dig into this transparency a little bit, because I think people don't exactly understand what you and researchers are asking for. Like, what might you get from Facebook or Twitter compared to YouTube?
For example, Facebook and Twitter are far more transparent about sort of the engagement metrics and the content that is on its service. So Facebook has a tool called Crowdtangle, which allows researchers to sort of map what's happening on the platform in terms of engagement. And there are definitely limitations to that, but it is at least something. And Twitter, by its very nature, being a more public platform, provides more data to researchers. Whereas a lot of that stuff just doesn't exist for YouTube. And so we have far less visibility. So that's a key thing.
And so then what happens? Like, you call YouTube and you're like, hey, we are trying to understand better how, for example, young people keep getting radicalized on your platform. Can you give us some sense of what's happening in the algorithm? And they just don't answer the phone?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much exactly. You know, there's this big debate happening in the researcher community about the level of filter bubbles or the radicalization effect of YouTube's algorithms. And it's sort of still an open question, and it's really hard to answer based on the sort of tools and the data currently available to researchers.
Evelyn Dueck is an affiliate at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society. A Pew Research survey in September found that 1 in 4 adults get their news from YouTube. And now for some related links. Dueck wrote a piece for Wired last month asking why there hasn't been more focus on YouTube, noting, among other things, that back in 2018, when researchers hired by a Senate Intelligence Committee asked Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for data around Russian interference in the 2016 election, YouTube provided the smallest amount of information by far. I mean, hey, maybe they're absolutely crushing it over there, and the amount of disinformation on YouTube would be like exponentially worse if they weren't hamstering away in their little wheel knocking things down. But it sure doesn't seem that way, and we sure aren't hearing about it if they are. Also, in related links, something that may make you feel, again, like maybe a little more advanced action on this one could have been good. Twitter announced Wednesday that it will take down tweets that spread lies about vaccine safety and possibly also tweets that say COVID-19 doesn't exist or what the company called widely debunked claims starting next week. And it will roll out labels on tweets that try to spread vaccine conspiracy theories starting early next year. Facebook made the same pledge about 2 weeks ago. And listen, I know sometimes the news can be a relentless bummer. And this next comment is sadly no exception. Because increasingly, prosecutors, terrorism analysts, and former national security officials are warning that the embrace of conspiracy theories and disinformation, which literally happened in Congress this week, is radicalizing conservatives in particular, dangerously increasing the potential for right-wing violence and terrorism, and is becoming a true national security threat. Because online speech has consequences in the real world, and it is well past time any company got to pretend that it didn't. Oh, and real quick before we go, maybe just a good news heads up. On Saturday in your Marketplace Tech podcast feed, you'll get our hour-long climate special called How We Survive. I am so proud of it. I know you're going to love it. But I also wanted to warn you because I know 7 or 8 minutes versus an hour is kind of a big difference. So just be prepared with the data plan or whatever. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Marketplace Tech keeps you connected to what's happening across business, technology, and culture with news that matters to you. We're able to do what we do thanks to your support. And now would be a really good time to give. This month only, you can get a Marketplace face mask as a bonus thank you gift when you donate any amount. Become an investor at marketplace.org/givetech. And thanks for your generous support.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.